The following is rated R. It contains violence, adult language, nudity, and adult content.
Good evening, everybody, and welcome. It's 8:30 p.m. Eastern Time on Sunday, April 25th, 2021. And thanks for joining us for the Fear the Walking Dead online viewing party here on blogtalkradio.com. I'm host Casey Shapiro, and special thanks to our host and sponsor, NDB Media. And I'm actually going to give them some thank you applause. All righty. And my helper and right-hand person and super fan and benevolent buddy for showing up for Fear because we're aggravated with it. Joan is in the chat room tonight. Feel free to join us if you are listening and you want to chit-chat about the show. Thank you, Joan. As always, tonight's show contains spoilers up through the last episode and possible information from current AMC official Walking Dead promo materials. Welcome to Season 6, Episode 10 of Fear. Fear continues the back half of Season 6 up through June 6th. There are six more episodes to the Season 6 finale. There's a lot of sixes there. I'm getting a little uncomfortable. It's like we're the radio show of the beast tonight or something. No, shiver. Okay, World Beyond Season 2 is still currently slated to air sometime in late 2021. I'm not even going to give you the spiel. You know how it works. Theoretically, with everything else going on, schedule, it couldn't be before August 15th at this point unless they double up with Walking Dead Classic Season 11 that is supposed to happen earlier than this fall, which I find super odd. But anyway, we don't know, but that's the gist. 2022, Carol and Daryl, 2022 or 3, Tales of the Walking Dead. I'm skipping over because you guys hear this every week. You know what I'm talking about. I will tell you if anything changes, I promise. Typically, we start this show about a half hour before the new episode airs live each week with recap from previous episode and discussion of what is to come. At 9 p.m., we go dark or mute and watch the new episode together. And then rate the episode so far from 1 to 10, 1 being total and 10 being magnificent, and give commentary during the commercial breaks. We will also give our listeners trivia on the show as well as the cast and crew, including bios, birthdays, and more. Our show is spoiler and comic free, so please don't discuss either spoilers or the comics in the chat room or on the air. We prefer our discussions, reactions, and comments to be just about what we know from the show that's presented. Call in to speak with the hosts at 914-338-0314 at any time, but I encourage you especially between 8:30 and 9 p.m. so that we can chat freely. If you do call during the live episode after 9 p.m., you will be screened and muted until after the commercial break where we can chat on the air. If the phones are not your thing, you're welcome to join us in our live chat room on blogtalkradio.com, where you will be able to listen to the show real time, as well as go back to the link and download the episode after the fact. And we post a link for that on our Facebook page and occasionally my social media, although I didn't get to it this week, so sorry. If you're unable to join us in real time this evening or any evening, you can go to the episode link later on, wait about 5 to 10 minutes after the show's over, and then the show will be archived as an MP3 podcast. You can download that for later listening, or you can listen to it live on the webpage. Click the cloud-shaped white icon at the top right of the page if you want to download it as a file. Tonight's episode of Fear is entitled Handle with Care. The official AMC synopsis is, a threat worse than Virginia is on the horizon. Morgan calls for unity and invites all survivors to his settlement, tasking Daniel to keep the peace. However, Daniel will need to face his own challenge in hopes of protecting his friends. I'll check in the chat room. Joan has not added anything, and so we will go to additional synopses, which I usually try to do for you when I'm able, to give you sort of an extended synopsis of the episode without spoilers. And that's gotten a little harder since AMC has started letting people watch stuff several days early now, so people are watching it and making commentary, including way too much stuff. So I usually don't read you guys those if I can help it. So this one is one of our regular trusted sources, comicbook.com. Thank you, Cameron Bolomona. And this is from April 23rd, and it's entitled Fear the Walking Dead Survivors Are Facing an Existential Threat in Episode 610, Opening Minutes. All right, so we'll get to whatever he's talking about pretty early. That's good. So Cameron says, Morgan Jones calls a meeting about a new threat to the survivors' existence in the opening minutes from Fear the Walking Dead, Handle with Care. In the episode, mostly told through the eyes of Daniel Salazar, some time has passed since the widowed June Dory summarily executed Jenny behind the walls of Morgan's supposed to be peace. That's grammatically bad, Cameron. Supposed to be peaceful dam community, and it's D-A-M. We're not swearing. Rangers Victor Strand and Samuels. That's her last name. We don't have a first name for that character. Report more spray painting activity from their foes who sabotaged Tank Town in the explosive episode 6-6, Bury Her Next to Jasper's Leg, where a spooked Jenny lost a hand to the underground group behind The End is the Beginning. If you guys remember those spray painted tags that have been going around. Quote, one thing we're going to see in the back half of the season is there's still a looming threat out there. There always is. How could there not be? And it's amazing how these looming threats and villains all take their turns instead of doubling up, isn't it? Kind of waiting to, I don't know how they coordinate that. And it's, I know, suspend disbelief, let them tell the story, blah, 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 bite me. Anyhow, getting back to the quote, which are these people that are spray painting The End is the Beginning? Co-showrunner Ian Goldberg told Entertainment Weekly about the season-building threat. The people who took out Tank Town, the ones who were spray-painting the sub in 601, that group is going to rise to the forefront in a really dramatic way in the back half. And it's going to really test our fractured family of characters, again, because they're going to have to find a way to reckon with that threat. Ooh, reckon. Okay. You only hear that in Appalachia and sometimes in England. Goldberg added, and yes, they're in a place where they're not unified, and that's just going to make it all the more interesting. They're facing a threat that we'll see is just as formidable, if not more so, than Virginia. Virginia was not formidable. She was an unrealistically portrayed idiot bitch. I'm sorry. I don't know why these people ever followed her. Viewers will learn more about this existential threat in Handle with Care before Alicia and Althea get to the bottom of this underground cult led by Teddy, series newcomer John Glover, who might just be the mortician turned serial killer hunted by John Dory's policeman father decades before the zombie apocalypse. I'm having some misgivings about that. I don't remember if that is in the trailers or not, but usually Cameron is not too spoilery. So I'm going to let that pass and keep going. That's actually the end of the article anyway, so this is fine. Let me check back in the chat room. Joan has said, speak for yourself, plenty of swearing over here. You're damn right. Saying worse than Virginia really isn't much of a stretch. Virginia did a lot of damage, but she didn't earn any of it. It was forced to be in the script. You know, it wasn't anything about her that caused any of that. So y'all know my beef with this. Joan and I kind of concur. And I am grateful every week that she still bothers to come to the table with this particular spinoff, or either of the other two, to be honest. All right, let's get to something happier. Writers and directors' profiles. We like to pet them every week because they bring us the fun things. Okay, tonight's episode is written by Ashley Cardiff and David Leslie Johnson McGoldrick. I go back and forth between pasting his name and his hyphenated last name because half the time I see it online, it goes by Johnson and drops the McGoldrick. And I have this in his bio because I just think that you should call people by their proper names. And I'm not clear which he prefers, but I'm assuming he prefers the hyphenated, although people don't use it. So I'm trying to help a brother out. All right. And tonight's episode is directed by Heather Capiello. It took me a minute. C-A-P-P-I-E-L-L-O. Capiello. And we will get to her. That's a new face in this franchise. All right. 8:40, plenty of time. Ashley Cardiff is a writer from Northern California. As a strange child, she wrote a 600-page quest fantasy novel about a dragon planet, built an Ewok to scale out of chicken wire, and taught herself to play an entire level of Sonic the Hedgehog 3 blindfolded, using the music as cues. People often say, quote, that makes sense, when she tells them she homeschooled. After a few glorious years working at an indie comic book store, Cardiff attended St. John's College, where she added translating ancient Greek to an already dubious skill set. I don't know if it's dubious, Ash. I actually think it's kind of fun. Upon obtaining a complicated sounding degree that amounts to reads books and talks about them, she worked at New York's beloved science fiction and fantasy imprint Tor/Forge before moving to Los Angeles to become a screenwriter. In a 2013 Rumpus interview, they mentioned her first book, Night Terrors, : Sex, Dating, Puberty, and Other Alarming Things, a collection of essays and ruminations on sex and sexuality, was just published. So this would have been 8 years ago now. All right, from 2014 to 2018, she wrote for Marty Noxon of Buffy fame, Marty's created series Girlfriend's Guide to Divorce, as story editor for 8 episodes with written by credit for 2 episodes and 1 episode with both credits for a total of 11. She's currently delighted to spend her days talking about zombies and cowboys at Fear the Walking Dead. She was an executive story editor for 10 episodes of season 5 of Fear, 1 through 10 and 16, minus episodes 11 through 15 for random reasons. She is now a co-producer for all of season 6 of Fear. Ashley has also been executive story editor for 14 episodes of Fear, and tonight is her fourth time writing an episode of Fear. The first is season 5, episode 3, Humbug Gulch. Second being season 5, episode 16, Leave What You Don't. And the third being season 6, episode 5, Honey. All right, her co-writer tonight is David Leslie Johnson McGildrick. And David began writing plays in the second grade and wrote his first screenplay at age 19. He attended Ohio State University in Columbus and graduated with a Bachelor of Fine Arts in Photography and Cinema. Currently, Johnson lives in Burbank with his wife, screenwriter Kimberly Lofstrom Johnson, and their son, Samuel. Johnson McGoldrick began his career as a production assistant on Frank Darabont's The Shawshank Redemption, which was filmed on location in Johnson's hometown of Mansfield, Ohio, at the historic Mansfield Reformatory, where Johnson's great-grandfather had been a prison guard. Johnson spent the next 5 years as Darabont's assistant, using the opportunity to hone his craft as a screenwriter. He co-wrote the screenplay for the new Aquaman movie that came out in December 2018 and did so well that as of February 2019, he had already been hired to pen the script for the Aquaman sequel, now moved to be due out in 2022. He wrote the script for 2016 sequel, The Conjuring 2, and was brought back to work on current new sequel, The Conjuring 3, The Devil Made Me Do It, which is slated for 2021, but is probably going to get pushed back. We're still not sure. He's also listed as a main writer for the Nightmare on Elm Street 2021 reboot, which hasn't happened and may have been moved. Not really sure what's up. Y'all do understand many TV shows and movies are kind of in this nebulous hiatus status because of quarantine and are slowly getting things done. It's all very weird and surreal, and it's part of the reason the Walking Dead episodes are all out of whack. So hopefully you understand that that's the same thing that's going on here. All right. Other future projects for David include a Dungeons & Dragons movie slated for November 2021. As of tonight, it wasn't on his IMDb anymore as a pending project. So I don't know if it got scrapped or not, but I'm leaving it in there until I find out for certain. So I want to give him all his earned cookies. All right, he's also slated for another remake of The Invasion of the Body Snatchers, which I don't think we need. Also slated for 2022. I'm sure he does good work, but how many times do we need to remake the same movie? Give me a break. Do a sequel or something, for God's sake. David has been involved with Walking Dead since 2011, so he's a long-timer. He's been a consulting producer for Walking Dead contiguously since season 8 in 2017. He also has story-by and teleplay-by credits for 2017's season 8, episode 5, The Big Scary You, which is part of the reason I waffle back and forth on how many episodes he's done, because these credits are, professionally they're not splitting hairs, but for the purpose of what I'm talking about, it's hard to decide where to cut off here. So I've included it sometimes and been not sure. Okay, so David has written 13 episodes of The Walking Dead Classic, starting with Season 2, Episode 5, Chupacabra, 14 if you count The Big Scary You. And the latest episode he's worked on is Season 10, Episode 22, Season Finale Redux, Here's Negan. He's also written 3 episodes of Fear prior to tonight, Channel 4, Season 5, Episode 9, Today and Tomorrow, Season 5, Episode 14, and The Key, Season 6, Episode 4. Tonight is his 4th episode of Fear that he has written. Checking in the chat room. Joan's good, so let's move on. 8:46. Okay. Director, Heather Capiello. Heather is an award-winning director of film, television, and theater. I actually don't have any personal info on her right now. I was running a little late tonight, to be truthful with you guys. And so fortunately, somebody has a bio for her in IMDb, but I don't have anything past that. And hopefully she'll work with us again, and then I'll have occasion to go look. But she has directed episodes of Madam Secretary, Criminal Minds, Blue Bloods, was a 2016 Voice Award winner, and the horror series Freakish, streaming on Hulu. Additionally, she directed the pilot presentation for the one-hour drama Corporate, produced by The Collective. Heather wrote and directed the short film Ruby's Tuesday that screened at more than 25 festivals, including the Short Film Corner at Cannes. Notably, Heather was one of 2 directors chosen for the CBS Directing Initiative during the 2015 cycle and is a current protege in the inaugural DGA Craft and Mentorship Program. Heather helmed theatrical premieres in London, San Francisco, and Berkeley, California, including tenures with the acclaimed Shotgun Players and the Bay Area's Jawbone Theater Ensemble, which she co-founded. So she's pretty well-rounded here. She's got stage and film here. Heather was a script supervisor on more than 15 original single-camera dramas and comedies, including HBO's award-winning series 6 Feet Under, Carnival, and Enlightened, and TNT's critically acclaimed drama Saving Grace, starring Academy Award winner Holly Hunter. Heather's debut directing episodes of Saving Grace was chosen as a submission piece for both Ms. Hunter's SAG and Golden Globe Award nominations. Heather is an active member of the Directors Guild of America, DGA, and serves as the appointed co-coordinator of the Activities and Events Standing Committee for the Women's Steering Committee. Heather has a writer's credit for a film short in 2005 and several others. She has 31 script and continuity credits going back to 98, including for 6 Feet Under, The Gin Game as a movie in 2003, Monk, Parenthood, Criminal Minds, Suspect Behavior, up to Recovery Road in 2016. She has 7 director's credits back to 2005, including Saving Grace, Criminal Minds, and Blue Bloods, up to 2019. Directing tonight's episode is Heather's first time working in the Walking Dead franchise in any capacity. So welcome to the, what do we call the zombies when there's like thousands of them? The herd? Welcome to the herd. Okay, there we go. Thank you guys for your work. Much appreciation. All right, it's 8:49. We got time, so let's jump into trivia. Trivia about tonight's episode. It is the 79th episode of Fear ever. The title of the episode, Handle with Care, is the same as the Traveling Wilburys song. This is the 4th time an episode's title is the title of a song that plays in the episode. The others are This Land is Your Land, the second is Sleigh Ride, and the third was End of the Line. And as of this episode tonight, Garrett Dillahunt, who played John Dory, has been removed from the opening credits. And I'm giving him some applause because I really liked his work. One of the things I hope to have time for tonight later on in between commercial breaks is I have an article I saved from last week which talks about why Garrett Dillahunt wanted to leave the show. And so I think we should talk about that. All right, so co-stars tonight, Corey Hart as Raleigh. He was a member of Logan's crew until the group was wiped out by the Pioneers. He's currently a member of the Outcasts. And Bobby Grace, female, B-O-B-B-I-E, as Ranger Samuels. Samuels is one of the Rangers alongside Victor Strand, who was escorting Dakota to a safe house in Episode 7, Damage from the Inside. And we do not know Ranger Samuels' first name. She doesn't ever use it. Uncredited tonight, feline actor Raja Afghani as Skidmark. Yay, Skidmark is back. I like him. Flynn O'Connor is a caravan survivor. Ken Edwards is an office survivor. And I'm fuzzy what they mean by office because I'm trying to figure out what that means in this context. The following are all dam survivors that are not credited. Carmella Harper, Melissa Benson, Maxie Ginn, G-I-N-N, Kayla Anderson, Ron Bonge, B-O-N-G-E, Bonge. I apologize if I've butchered it, and Morgan Brown. And then also unnamed canine actor who plays Rufus, Emile's hound dog, who is now with Morgan. Deaths obviously to be announced later because that's spoilers. And trivia from last week, Fate 51. Pardon me. Last week, last appearance of John Dory as a corpse or flashback. Last appearance of Emile LaRue as a flashback. Last appearance of Virginia. And you know what, Joan, this is for you. Last appearance of Virginia. I had to give you your moment, although I'm sad to say that it's likely we may see a few cameos to do with plot things, at least as long as Dakota's here. And, you know, maybe for a little while, we'll see. The title of the episode, Things Left to Do, refers to the note Dakota left for Morgan after she saved him. This episode marks Alexa Nissenson's 25th appearance on Fear the Walking Dead. Dakota is revealed to be Virginia's daughter, not her sister. Sorry, when I use Ms. Nissenson's first name, I have an electronic leash in my office that likes to get involved. All right. Strand becomes a leader of the Pioneers after the truth about Cameron's murder is exposed. This is the first episode of Season 6 where all main cast members appear. This episode was originally meant to air as a mid-season premiere. However, the production of this episode was postponed due to COVID-19 pandemic. Other cast members, co-stars last week, Justin Smith as Marcus, who was a Pioneer, Justin Gray Henry as a Ranger. Uncredited last week, Carl Thomas as James, a Pioneer since Season 5, Demetrius Groth as Emile LaRue, archive footage, Joseph Castillo Midyet as Cigarette Man, archive footage because he was killed, and Stephen Brody as Young Man, archive footage. I think he was killed or wounded. One of them is probably not actually dead, but we'll see. Other uncredited, Jenny Biggs as Lawton Ranger, Michael D. Yule as Lawton Ranger, and Eric Smith as Lawton Ranger. Flynn O'Connor as a caravan survivor, Morgan Brown and Maxie Ginn as dam survivors. So I guess they'll appear this week as well. Unknown as Morgan being the new baby named after Morgan, and unknown canine actor as Rufus. Deaths, Virginia, and four named, unnamed pioneers. And Goose Airs bloopers. We actually have one, although I think this is weak, and I'm not sure I buy it. When June kills Virginia, her face is clean, but when she heads outside, there's a streak of blood. Pardon me. Streak of blood that wipes off. We don't see every single thing she does in there. Maybe she went up to make sure Virginia was dead or something. Like, just because there's a streak of blood, she could have done lots of things for it to get there. So I think that was really kind of lame. But your note is noted. All right. 8:54. Let's get to birthdays. Cast birthdays this week. Jeffrey DeMunn, who played Dale. April 25th, 1947. He's from Buffalo, New York. Austin Emilio, who plays Dwight. April 27th. So he's having a birthday this week, and he's from Austin, Texas. Austin from Austin. I bet he gets that joke a lot, so I'm sorry, dude. It's probably overdone. May birthdays, because we're coming up on that. Chris Coy, who played Martin in Terminus. May 1st, and he's from Louisville, Kentucky. And Maxon Lentz, who played young Henry, yes, of Madison Lentz, and like all the Lentz kids are playing various people in this show. The sister obviously was famous for being Sophia. May 2nd, and he's from Fargo, Georgia. So let's give them happy birthday. Good job, guys. There was no music identified last week for the episode number 9, Things Left to Do. We'll see if that changes. I keep thinking there was a song that should have been identified, but I don't have time to chase it. Not doing unaccounted for characters anymore. If I have reason to think something's going to happen with this, I'll mention it again. Talking Dead, Joan has told me that there's no more couch until June 6th, episode 16. I am a sad panda. I like Talking Dead. I don't like what they keep doing with it. Maybe there's a reason. I wish they would just be honest and tell us the reason. I'd respect that more. All right. Back half of season 6, we actually probably have time for this. Sorry about that. All right. It appears that episodes 14 through 16 haven't been completed, and as such, treat the dates as tentative and also treat the information as tentative because I don't have hardly anything. Next week, episode 80/11 is called The Holding, and the writer's Channing Powell. I don't have a director. That's going to be May 2nd. The following week, 81/12 is called In Dreams. Writer and director have not been announced since May 9th. 82/13 is called JD. Writer's not been announced, but the director was announced early. It's Aisha Tyler, May 16th. And then 83/14 is the 23rd. 15 is the 30th, and 16 is June 6th. We don't have any data on those. They are very hush-hush, which leads me to think there's been production slowdown, and that's why they don't have that data ready. But I will keep you guys posted. That's the current schedule. So we at least have through May 16th, and then we're kind of fuzzy for a hot minute. All right, it's 8:57. We are up to the point where we have the article about Garrett Dillahunt, so I'm going to pull that link up, but I'm not going to get into it now because I want us to have lots of time to chit-chat about that bit. So I'm going to pull this up here, and then I'm just going to sit on that until we are ready to go. Joan, do you have anything that you want to add before we go dark? Because it's going to be in a minute and a half. We will go dark. We have later shows on NDB Media, but I will give those to you guys later in the show. And I think that is it for the moment. So I'm just going to sit on that article. And what I'll probably do is let's go ahead and go dark for now. And then I will see you guys at the first commercial break. Thanks for joining us. Okay, guys, it is 9:06. We are at the first commercial break. At least that was not shortchanged as an opening. I'm kind of feeling I may give it a 5-2-5 out the gate. For one thing, no Virginia garbage. This is a constant theme, though. I don't know why we're doing this dance again as a plot line. Oh, no, we got rid of the huge danger. Here comes a new danger. All of these broken up groups have to cooperate in order to survive. Jonah's like, no, just no. Do these showrunners even watch Daniel in seasons 1-3? No, of course they didn't. I mean, he has changed some, just like, for example, Carol changed. So I'm not quite clear where you're going with that. Joan is going out of the gate with 3. It's somewhat unprecedented, but that's her right. I don't know that I find it so bad that it was worse than any Virginia episode because you've never gone that low before. But okay, that's fine. All right. Since we seem to still be in trailers and commercials, I'm going to see about at least starting the article that I was talking to you guys about. This is from UproXX, UproXX, and it was written by Dustin Rowles, Rowles. This is from April 18th, and it's entitled Garrett Dillahunt Has Explained Why He Wanted to Leave Fear the Walking Dead. And I'm sure a lot of us have kind of been wondering what's up with that. It says spoilers will be found below, but I'm sure they're referring to spoilers from the episodes where something happened to him, not like actual spoilers. All right, let's see. Does Joan have anything else to add? No, not at the moment. It's 9:09. We have a trailer for something, so I'm being a little careful in case we do go back in a minute. Gangs of London. I kind of thought that might be a thing. I hate that it's next. Oh, we are back, so I'll shut up. I'll tell you the rest at break number two. Okay, guys, it's 9:18. We're just at break number two. I'm gonna stay at 5:25, I think. All right. Let me grab previous comments, and I will get up to Joan's score in a hot second because probably you'll understand it after you hear the previous comments. All right. So let me scroll back just a skosh. Okay, so last time I had done 5:25, Joan was at 3, and I had mentioned that, well, Joan had said, did the showrunners even watch Daniel in seasons 1 through 3? And I had suggested that he could have changed it. You know, for example, Carol changed. Joan's comment was, Carol changed but never lost her abilities. Daniel seems to have gone from hardcore retired killer and member of the death squad to his home country before moving to L.A. to this nearly helpless old man that Virginia was actually able to kidnap and beat up. It's like Daniel went from being Daniel to Deanna from the original series. He was never that naive. And I had mentioned that I thought he was doing what Victor did, faking it. And I mentioned that, you know, a few episodes ago he revealed to Victor that he was faking, and nothing happened to him since then. And she conceded my point, but is still not very happy with the way that they're treating these characters. You know, Daniel may have been going through all this theater before, but for whose benefit is it now? Virginia's not here. So she says it's like the showrunners are trying to get these characters back to who they were in earlier seasons when they never should have forced them to be different in the first place. I know it's water under the bridge and nothing we can do about it now, but and I had mentioned Dakota needs to die, which she agrees, and Angela Kang needs to come and clean things up. And Jonah said, I'm thinking in particular about the Daniel and Alicia and Strand in seasons 4 and 5. And now I feel like they're trying to get back to who they were, but it's too late. And she agrees that they need an Angela Kang or someone like her. Jonah's going up to 4, but super begrudging on that 4. So that's where we are right now. Let me go ahead and go back to the article, which I pulled up and hadn't read yet. So when an actor as popular as longtime character actor Garrett Dillahunt is killed off of a television series, there's a pretty good chance it was his decision and not necessarily the showrunner's idea. That was exactly the case with Dillahunt, whose character John Dory was killed off Fear of the Walking Dead in last week's midseason premiere. One of the most devastating episodes ever in the Walking Dead universe. And it's pretty bad, but, you know, we've had almost senseless killings of major characters before. You know, it's not the first time it's happened. Okay, one of several devastating episodes like it in the Walking Dead universe. I'll grant you that. Apple TV for All Mankind or something, something. Okay, it's an Arby's commercial. We can keep going. In fact, the timing of the pandemic was unfortunate for Dillahunt, who had shot everything in his final episode except for his death scene before the pandemic shut down production. After being home for months of the for the pandemic, Dillahunt was glad to be back on the set to see his old friends, but he was only there for a few days before he had to leave again. And then you're gone, he told Entertainment Weekly. And it's COVID conditions on a set, so you can't really go hug everybody or give everybody smooches and squeezes and wish them well properly, end quote. We are back. I'll read you the rest at break number 3. Okay, 928, commercial break number three. I'm going to go to a 5-5 begrudgingly. Key points are taking too long and it's bugging me. Joan mentioned between the last score and this one, because even after Daniel told Strand he was faking, he and Grace were held and taken away by Virginia in last week's episode. Morgan had to bargain with Jenny to get Grace and Daniel back. Maybe he was trying to protect Grace, but I don't give these writers that much credit. No, okay. And I said, you know, I don't know. It is a lot of stretch, thin shite. That's all I got to go. And that was, Joan says, yeah, that's kind of my point. Like just now, Daniel said he sent Charlie away for her own safety, but it sounds like he also put her up to searching tents. So I think her searching of the tents has to do with why he was sending her away. I think it's a retroactive, you know, kind of a prologue to the current timeline. Yeah, and they're supposedly sturdy as shit. Door just fell in like cardboard, 425. I'm not sure what you mean, sturdy as shit door. I don't think that's the main door to the place going on. That does, because that was all kind of like, you know, cement or something. I'm very confused by the whole thing. A lot of this is just confusion after confusion, and it irritates me. It vexes me. All right. Let's go ahead and go back to the article on Garrett Delahunt. All right. So where do we leave off? All right. He was talking about not being able to say goodbye to everybody because COVID, yeah. Delahunt also admitted they've been talking about his exit since season 5. Ultimately, however, it was Delahunt's decision to leave the series. Quote, I loved my time on this show and will always cherish it, he told Entertainment Weekly. I get a little antsy after a while and I'm not a kid anymore and I have some things I wanted to do. And I'm just fortunate it worked out. End quote. Delahunt was also grateful they were willing to give him a proper exit. Garrett, you are very generous. I don't think they gave you a proper exit at all. I think it was gratuitous as shit, and you deserve better. So I don't know about that. Quote, I just feel very fortunate they were willing to hear it and consider it and come up with a great idea that made everybody happy, he said. Yeah. The Deadwood actor has plenty on his plate, too, in a number of projects he was attached to before the pandemic that, like Fear, were delayed. Next month will be in another zombie project, Zack Snyder's Army of the Dead for Netflix. He's also such a star in James Franco's The Long Home, Blonde, an adaptation of Joyce Carol Oates' fictionalized version of Marilyn Monroe's life, and Michael Bay's Ambulance. He also recently signed on as one of the leads in the adaptation of Where the Crawdads Sing. I don't know anything about that one. Delahunt, however, has nothing but fond things to say about his stint on Fear. Quote, even if you want off a show, it's never easy to leave one. There's seldom real bad blood or something like that. It's often just time. And in this case, I like everyone so much, he told Entertainment Weekly. He described his ending as beautiful and sweet and sad, the bittersweet, and promised to stay in touch with the fan base. I'm real excited what the future holds, and I'm real happy, and I'm real excited to stay in touch with the fans. I'll see you on the circuit, and when John exists, and Garrett's still alive. John will always exist, and he was a great character. I was honored to play him. Okay, we've got time to finish this. Viewers of Fear, meanwhile, were honored to see him and appreciate the role he played in creatively resurrecting the series. As fans will see in this week's episode, however, the show is clearly able to keep the momentum even without the beloved John Dory. Well, they were struggling with momentum before anyway. Ride with Norman Reedus, series finale is later tonight. AMC for October. Looks like they're advertising the horror stuff. And I'm not sure why they're doing that in April, but whatever, guys. I'm not really clear what's happening here. Halloween 1 through 4, The Shining, Land of the Dead, Underworld. And something to do with AMC, but why now? It's spring. Halfway to Halloween Marathon, starting Friday, 7 p.m. Okay, and we're back. See you at break number 4. That's a damn good question, Morgan. What the hell did happen there, Daniel? It's 9:38. I'm going to stay at 5-5 for now. I might go up just a skosh, but we're going to see about that. Jones stand at 4-2-5. And the door that she's talking about was the door that Sarah, Grace, and June and everybody entered last week, and she thought it was one of the main entrances, maybe not. Both of us are getting aggravated because it's very difficult to keep track of the details properly, how they have this all done. It's aggravating me really badly. Joan kind of agrees at that point. They're so scattered with all this stuff. All right, I have finished the article about Garrett Delahunt and John Dory and all of that. It's 9:38, so it's probably okay to go ahead and let you all know about upcoming shows on NDB Media, other shows. Monday night in America, tomorrow night with Roger Noriega, 4/26/2021 at 10 p.m. Eastern Time. Roger D. Noriega brings you his unique take on politics, current events, entertainment, sci-fi, and history, currently hosted on StreamYard. Tuesdays, on occasion, he has moved over the other show that he was doing, and I'm embarrassed to say I don't remember the title of it now. It's the Ghost Hunter one that was dual slotting with Monday Night in America, and I guess he moved it to its own slot somehow, but that's on StreamYard as well. Also on Tuesdays here, Phantom Access Week in Review, the 27th, 10 p.m. Eastern Time, join the lovable linguists Jamie, Karen, and AJ as they dive into another night of television. I do not yet know what shows they're doing. I'm sorry. But you can tune in and find out. All right. Wednesday, the 28th, Rock and Roll Shrink, 11 p.m. Eastern Time. Join me and Atlanta psychologist Dr. Stephen Mathis, PsyD, a.k.a. the Rock and Roll Shrink, as we discuss matters of mental health and mental health. Our upcoming topic is to be announced, but we will let you guys know on the Facebook page. Travel Itch Radio, the 29th, 8 p.m. Eastern Time, the Bay Area suburb of Concord, California, offers a pleasant alternative to the bustling big cities of San Francisco and Oakland. Learn all about it on Tuesday, April 29th, when Elaine Schloss of Visit Concord visits Travel Itch Radio, Dan Schlossberg, and co-host Mary Ellen Nugent-Lay. And that is all the upcoming shows on NDB Media. So let's go back to the chat room and see if Joan has anything else to add. Not at this time. I don't have any other materials to read to you guys. We're just watching a commercial right now that is very strange. There's a modern guy, and it looks like, Pompeii was destroyed in 79 AD. And he dropped a sandwich on the floor, but I don't understand what's going on because I haven't muted. Thank you for hanging out with us. We've got about 20 minutes left. Joan and I are still trying to figure out exactly what in the Kentucky Fried Hell is going on here. This particular episode is really just scattered. We don't know why they're filming so many weeks from now. There's no resolution on what happened with June. You know what would be really weird? If Daniel was talking to June somehow and June was back, but I don't think that's going to happen. But I don't know why they wouldn't get rid of Jenna when they got rid of Garrett. Jenna's staying on the show. These time jumps are pissing me off, especially because it is obvious they're trying to sync all the shows together. And then they keep doing time jumps. It's like, okay, if you made one jump and you caught everybody up, don't do any more jumping around. It seems super obvious to me. So I don't know what's going on with that. All right, but that was a commercial for my favorite electronic leash that is sitting a few feet away from me in my office. It was a commercial for that device. So I'm not going to use her name because she wakes up inappropriately and starts butting into all my business. All right, there was a VW SUV commercial. We are back now, and I'll see you guys at break number 5. All right, it's 9:51. It's break number 5. I'm actually still going to stay at 5-5. It's not sucking worse, but it's just not compelling to go higher at the moment, kind of how I feel about it. Joan and I are trying to figure out what's going on with Daniel. You know something? Because he's been faking it, I actually don't think he's faking it now. I think something is wrong with him. Remember, there's been a time gap of at least weeks or something. I did partially call two parts, though. I had said maybe that's why he's talking in jail. He's in there for his own safety somehow. And I did mention, wouldn't it be funny if he was talking to June, because she's a medical person. I mean, she's not a psychologist, but, you know, if there were a physiological reason for what's happening with him, she might be able to pick it up. Joan has said, if this is their way of trying to explain away all of Daniel's erratic change of personalities over the last two seasons, wow, weak and just wow. And he's faking it again, but Morgan's falling for it. Didn't think Morgan was that gullible. And like earlier, I don't think he's faking it this time, and I think that's the disturbing thing. Because first off, I don't think he would have ever sent Grace and Charlie to a place that he knew would get them killed. Why would he send them to a fake place? It doesn't help. Joan is willing to do 4 or 5 just to be a skosh higher, but she's not any more impressed than that. I don't blame her. I really don't quite get exactly what the Kentucky Fried Hell they're doing with this story. All right, it is AMC movie that is this, it must be, yeah, it is Fast and Furious something. One of them. Fast and Furious, Monday, 8:30, and The Secret She Keeps. All right, hopefully we're going back in a second, because I really don't have too much else to say about stuff right in the moment. Weird commercial about a woman in a hair salon. Kim Crawford, make it amazing. I guess that's a line of wines or something. And now we're in a trailer for something based on New York Times bestseller. So it's, I guess it's a movie out of a book. Okay, so which movie book is it? Waiting, Suspension. Da-da-da. Come on, guys. Was The Mosquito Coast. Interesting. You know, I've never actually seen that. Maybe I should. All right. There's a Code Fighter. Science fiction-y looking thing. The Virus Hunter. The Force Multiplier. I don't know. Is this an ad for the military or is this a video game? The Replenisher. There's military in special effects, but I can't tell what this is supposed to be for. Oh, it's an army commercial. Okay, whatever. That's fine. That's cute, guys. Joan's not really convinced that Daniel's for real this time. I can understand that because of all of the back and forth that they've done with this. You know, is Daniel crazy? Is Daniel faking? Whatever. You know, they have certainly made it so it's difficult to tell what the hell's going on. And I have to grant you, Joan, if I am correct, I definitely feel like they have been very poorly consistent within their own mythos as to what's going on with things. So I could certainly see why this is hard to track, but I don't really know what to say about all that. I'm watching what's going on. June is taking him seriously at the moment. Another commercial for Gangs of London. There's like some hardcore fighting in this. It's pretty bad. I don't even know why they have that for London, but okay. All right, now we're back. See you guys either at the end of break number 6, however it times out. Okay, guys, it's 10:05. There is no Talking Dead tonight, so I am going to go ahead and wrap this up. My final score is just going to stay 5-5 for now. Yeah, I really just, I can't 5-7-5 with this. Joan and I have been going back and forth with this, and honestly, I don't blame us for being confused and conflicted about this. That's ham-fisted writing on their part. Joan's ending on 4-5, and I can't blame her. I am on the stance that Daniel is not faking, that he's got something like PTSD or maybe even like June says it's not physiological. I'm not sure if that's really true. I don't know how they would tell. They're missing so much medical equipment. I did find it interesting that the preview for next week's show does seem to be about that strange living plant mad scientist shit that we saw advertised for earlier in the season. They're finally getting to that part, which is good because we're on episode 10 of 16, so we need to get busy with that. But anyhow, I've already let you know about the shows later in the week, other people's shows. So thank you for doing that, and thank you for joining us. So I appreciate those of you who joined us tonight, and also I appreciate those of you who may be listening later via podcast, iTunes, Blog Talk Radio website, et cetera. Hold on, my cat is tearing my desk apart. Ugh, Calliope, you are such a brat. Please stop. I'm just trying to get off the air, bugger. All right. Podcasts, iTunes, Blog Talk Radio website, wherever you listen to us, we appreciate you. Special thanks to our host, NDB Media, and we hope you guys will join me next weekend for another live watch party on this same network. Please watch our Facebook page for showtimes and episode links. We will see you guys next time. So thank you for joining us. We will see you next weekend. And I'm finding you some exit music. Thank you so much. Talk to you guys later. Bye-bye.